I want to talk to you this morning, just a very simple word, something that the Lord has been stirring in my heart. I want to talk to you about the most impactful people on the earth. The most impactful people, the people that make the greatest impact in the earth. I want you to go with me to Genesis chapter 18. Let's begin with verse 1. Verse 1 says, "And the Lord appeared unto him," talking about Abraham, "in the plains of Mamre, and he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day. And he lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door and bowed himself toward the ground and said, 'My Lord, if now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant. Let a little water, I pray you, be fetched, and wash your feet, and rest yourselves under the tree. And I will fetch a morsel of bread, and comfort ye your hearts. After that ye shall pass on, for therefore are you come to your servant.' And they said, 'Do as thou hast said.'" Let's pray. Father, a very simple word this morning, but a very weighty word, God. And I pray, Lord, that again you would stir our hearts with your word. Lord, we're going to talk about what it means to be someone of great impact for your kingdom in this earth. And I just pray, Lord, by the simplicity and the Spirit of the Lord, that you would stir our hearts with this word. God, we love you, and we thank you for what you're doing in our lives, and we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 1 begins, "And the Lord appeared unto Abram in the plains of Mamre." And I'm really emphasizing that word, "and the Lord appeared unto him." And beloved, this can represent any time a living revelation of God comes to our heart. This can represent any time we find ourselves having a living encounter with God. And I believe with all my heart, and I know with all my heart, that God is looking for a people that he can appear to. He's looking for a people that he can reveal himself to. Again, I'm reminded of Hebrews 11:6, where it says that God is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. And that word rewarder in the Greek language, the original language, means revealer. God is a revealer to those who diligently seek him. And what does he reveal? He reveals himself. That there can be no greater reward to a seeking heart than a living revelation of God to that heart. And according to the scriptures, Hebrews 11:6, when God has a people that have a heart to seek him, he will open up the eyes of their heart and they'll see him. They'll see him in the word. They'll see him in the circumstances of their life. They'll see him in their brothers and sisters in Christ. They'll see his heart for the lost. In everything, they'll have a heart. They'll have eyes to see the Lord. I really believe with all my heart in the new covenant, that is the reward of a seeking heart. A living revelation of God. Now, look with me at verse 1 again. It says, "And the Lord appeared unto him in the plain of Mamre, and he sat in the tent in the heat of the day." And here's a question I want to ask you. When the Lord appears to Abram, is Abram in what we would call a spiritual posture? Is he in a place of worship? Is his eyes in the heavens and his hands stretched out to the Lord in a place of worship? Is he in a place of prayer? Is he bowed down before the Lord on his knees in a place of prayer? Nope. All he's doing is he's sitting in the tent door in the shade because he's hot. And I believe with all my heart, it's very hot. And he's probably very bored. He's probably very irritable. He's probably very restless. And there's something in Sarai's heart that's saying, I wish you would just go for a walk and get out from underfoot. I believe that with all my heart. And my point is simply this. When you're walking in true relationship with God, God doesn't limit himself to the prayer closet. God doesn't limit himself to worship. God can appear to you and manifest himself to you any given moment in your life. Now, look with me at verse 2. It says, and he lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door and bowed himself toward the ground. And brothers and sisters, what I want us to understand here is that suddenly normalcy was arrested by a divine manifestation of God. Suddenly a normal moment in Abram's life became a moment of divine manifestation of God. And beloved, I believe all of God's people experience this at times. Maybe we're just walking through Kmart. Maybe we're sitting at McDonald's having a hamburger. Maybe we're washing the dishes. And suddenly the Spirit of God, something of the Spirit of God grabs our heart. And suddenly we begin to see something as God sees something. Suddenly what looks normal to everybody else, you find God sharing his heart with you in those things. You know, I can think of just a couple of times in my life. For example, there are just times I'm sitting around the horse, around the house. I don't have a horse, I'm sorry. I'm sitting around the house and I'm very bored and I'm very restless. Like Abraham, I'm very irritable. And sometimes I think my wife is thinking, why don't you just get in the car and go for a drive or something like that? I'm just in this place and I'll just start watching my children. I'll watch my son and my daughter. And suddenly the heart of God comes. And I begin to see my children as God sees my children. I begin to sense the pleasure and the joy that the Lord has for my children. Because just out of nowhere, in a place of normalcy, the Spirit of God has come. And on a more serious note, you know, I remember a time a friend of mine, we were enjoying a day at Hershey Park. And we were riding the rides and eating the popcorn I believe we had some cotton candy and we were just having a time of fellowship together and we just enjoyed the day together. But as we were leaving, as we were about to go out the gate, I looked at my friend and he's sitting there weeping. I mean, he's broken. He's headed for the gate. He's broken and he's crying. And I asked him, what's wrong? And he said, suddenly God has caused me to see so many of these people on their way to hell. And I could tell by the weightiness of his words that God came upon him. And God began to open his eyes to see something that all the people around him wasn't seeing. And I wasn't seeing. He suddenly had a divine encounter with God in a very normal moment. And when you're walking in relationship with God, God doesn't always limit himself to worship. He doesn't always limit himself to prayer. He can come to you in the normalcy of your day. And he can begin to cause you to see things as he sees things. As you're walking in relationship with him. Now look with me at verses 3 through 5. Abram is now talking to the Lord and he says, my Lord, if now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant. Let a little water, I pray you, be fetched, and wash your feet, and rest yourselves under the tree. And I will fetch a morsel of bread, and comfort ye your hearts. After that you shall pass on, for therefore are you come to your servant. And they said, so do as thou hast said. You know, so often when I used to read the scripture, I thought this was very odd. And the question would come to my mind, Abram, what are you thinking? Do you think the Lord is hungry and he needs something to eat? I mean, do you think God is tired and he needs a place of rest? What are you thinking? That's the question that came to my mind. You see, sometimes it can be a far-fetched idea to us to see God as needy. So sometimes the thought that God is needy can just be an idea that we just can't seem to comprehend. God is needy. After all, He's God. He's El Shaddai. He's the God who sits upon the thrones over the earth. He's the God where the seraphim circle night and day for all eternity. Holy, holy, holy is the Almighty God. Seeing God as someone who is needy, it can be a very far-fetched idea from our minds. But beloved, I believe with all my heart, God has a need. He has a tremendous need. And I believe God's need is simply this. He has need of a people that He can share His heart with. God has a need that He needs a people that He can open up His heart and begin to communicate with them the things that are upon His heart. And beloved, I believe, just thinking about us as people, I believe everyone has this need to communicate. I couldn't help but ask myself this question. You know, if what kind of emotional state would we all be in if we just never had opportunities to open up our heart and just share with people? Share with people what is on our heart, what is going on in our heart. What kind of emotional state would we be in if we never had those opportunities? There is an inbred need in us to communicate. You know, when my wife and I were preparing to adopt a child and bring a child into our home, we were in classes. And I'll never forget one of the truths that they brought out, and that's simply this. What will impact your child the most? Capture this. The one thing that will determine the kind of adult your child will grow up to be is communication. The number one thing that will determine what kind of adult your child will grow up to be is communication. When you bring a child into your home that is immobilized because of the trauma in their past, your number one goal is to love them and to open your heart and share with them and eventually bring them to the place where they're opening their heart and sharing their heart with you. That's your number one goal. That's where the healing is. Beloved, we're all born with this inbred need to communicate. And I believe with all my heart, that's God's need. He needs a people that He can open up His heart to and communicate and share the things that are on His heart. Now, here's the whole purpose of this message this morning. Here's the whole underlying truth. The people who make the biggest impact in this world, biggest impact upon people's lives, are those God can share His heart with. When you are at a place where God can share His heart with you, at that time you become the most impactful, powerful person on the earth. When you can just share with His heart, when you can just minister with His heart, when you can just speak with His heart, you are able to perform things that the world's philosophies and ideas is powerless to do. When God can share His heart with you. Amen. Beloved, what is ministry? Whether it's full-time ministry or ministering to your children or in the workplace being a light, what is ministry? Ministry is seeing as God sees. It's feeling as God feels. In other words, it's God sharing His heart with you and walking in His heart and being able to share His heart with others. That's ministry. You know, when I first came to this Bible school, I'm a graduate from the Bible school here. One of the very first things I learned was the vital importance of having a daily, intimate, devotional life with God. Every day, finding a quiet place and spending time with God. Spending time with God in worship. Spending time with God in prayer. Spending time with God in His Word. And allowing God to share the things that are on His heart with me. I learned in my prayer closet that prayer isn't just me talking to God. It is a two-way communication. God has things on His heart He wants to share with me. And beloved, that has become the very life of my ministry. Because there are so many times God has shared His heart with me, and I have seen it impact people's lives. I remember a time some years ago when I was just in that private place with God, in that private place of prayer, just worshiping the Lord. And the Lord took me into the Word where David said, "Is there not anyone that I can show the kindness of the Lord to?" See, David had a recognizing of how kind God had been to him, and the kindness of God that was just over his life. And so David rose up and he said, "Is there not anyone that I can show the kindness of the Lord to?" And that's when they brought to him Mephibosheth, a very lame man, a very hurting man. And that morning in my prayer closet, I began to pray, oh God, is there anyone today that just needs to know your kindness? Is there hurting hearts today that just needs to know your kindness? And I had to catch a plane later that day. I had to fly to Detroit. And I began to pray, God, Lord, is there somebody on that plane that just needs to know your kindness, be touched by your kindness? Lord, would you just let me sit by them today? And when I got on the plane, when I got to my seat, I saw a little girl who was sitting by the window. And she had her jacket pulled up over her head, and I could tell that she was crying. I sensed the Lord had answered my prayer. So I sat down next to her, and I just waited. And when the plane was in the air, slowly that little jacket came off of her head, and she began to wipe her tears away. And I just asked her, "Is there something wrong? Are you okay?" And she began to tell me how her mom and dad just got a divorce. Now she had to leave her mom and go live with her dad, and her little heart was broken. And suddenly, the Lord just anointed me with funny jokes. I'm not really a funny person. I try to be. But the Lord was there. I just began to tell her jokes, and pretty soon her little heart began to open up, and she had this bear, and before we landed, she was hitting me in the head with her little bear, and but when we landed, I looked at her and I said, "I want you to know something. Jesus loves you. And He knows what you're going through. I don't know if you know Jesus or not, but I do want you to know He loves you." And I got up and I started walking off the plane, and suddenly I felt a tap on my back. And I turned around and there's this man in tears. And he said, "I want to thank you. Everything you said to that little girl, I heard. I was listening. I heard the whole thing. And I just want to thank you. Listen, I had no idea God was touching somebody else's heart." And beloved, I want to tell you something. That's ministry. Ministry is when you are in a place with God where you can hear His heart and you can walk in His heart. And you can share His heart. Not a head full of theology. You can share His heart. That's when you become the most impacted person on the face of the earth. Amen. I want you to go with me to John chapter 13. John chapter 13. Look with me at verse 24 and 25. It says, "Simon Peter therefore beckoned to him that he would ask who it is should be of whom he spake. He," and we're talking about John here, "he then lying on Jesus' breast said unto him, Lord, who is it?" Beloved, I believe all of us are probably familiar with this story. John is sitting at the table with Jesus, and his head is just lying on Jesus' breast. His head is just lying upon Jesus. And I'm sure most of us would say, "Wow, what an intimate picture. That is such an intimate picture. A picture of a man who loves Jesus and his head is just lying on the breast of Jesus. What an intimate picture." And I am sure when his head was lying upon the breast of Jesus, I am sure John could literally at times hear Jesus' heartbeat. He could hear his heart. Now here's where I want to go with this. When Jesus was on the cross, when he was on the cross, and he needed someone to look after his mother, he needed someone to look after someone who is very precious to his heart. Who heard the call? A man that had his ear to the heart of Jesus. That's who heard the call. You know, I couldn't help but think of James's words when he said, when I was thinking about that story, James said, pure religion and undefiled before God is this, to visit and take care of the fatherless and the widows in their affliction. Beloved, who are the people that Jesus can truly share this part of his heart with? The people who can hear his heart. Amen. Those that walk close to his heart. They're the ones that are able to hear his heart. Amen. Now, here's how I want to end. You don't have to turn there. And when I say end, I still have a few minutes to preach. But this is my closing point. In Genesis 18, that was our opening chapter, the Lord speaks to Abram about two important things. The promise of supernatural life he gives his people, and then the judgment of the wicked. You see, in Genesis 18, the Lord tells Abram that Sarah's old and barren womb is going to produce life. And then he talks to Abram about he's going to go judge Sodom for its sins. That was their conversation. And listen, beloved, when God looks in our world today, looks at humanity in our world today, he doesn't see anything else. That's what he sees. That's his viewpoint of the earth. That's his viewpoint of the human race and the earth. Listen, you're either filled with my resurrection life, or you're racing toward judgment. You're racing toward judgment. You're in a place where you're going to be separated from God for all eternity. When he looks into the earth, that's what he sees when it comes to humanity. And beloved, my point is, God is looking for a people that sees this world the way he sees this world. Lost or found, saved or condemned, filled with life or racing towards eternal death and separation from God. And like Abraham, they stand as intercessors in this world. Intercession is the very heart of the Christ. The word intercession simply means helping those who can't help themselves. That's what the cross was all about. And God is looking for a people that have his viewpoint when it comes to this world. I see people as saved or lost, saved or condemned, in light or in darkness. That's how I see the world. And in their heart, eternity is stamped in their hearts. And like Abraham, they are intercessors. What is in their hearts, what is stamped in their hearts is simply people coming to that old rugged cross and passing from death into life. God is looking for a people that share his heart, that sees as he sees. But beloved, here is the sad misfortune. So many in God's house have acquired a Lot heart. A Lot spirit. Remember, Abraham's nephew was named Lot. And he was of the family of God. The Bible says that he was a righteous man. And so he represents believers that are truly clothed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. But see, his affections were in this world. His treasures were in this world. And because of it, he could not see God's viewpoint of this world. He could not see God's viewpoint of life and death. He could not see that the need of the hour was a man with eternity sealed in his heart, standing in the gap between the living and the dead, which is the very heartbeat of the cross. And beloved, many believers started out as Abram, where they see this world as God sees it, lost or saved, life or death, and eternity lives in their hearts. They truly share God's viewpoint that when it comes to this world, nothing is more important than the message of the cross and passing from death into life. And yet somewhere in their walk with God, their eyes begin to look at this world. And in their heart, they became a Lot. I don't see Sodom as a wicked place racing toward judgment anymore. I don't see this earth as a sinful place in need of an intercessor. I see it as a place to pitch my tent. I see it as a place to set my affections. I see it as a place of personal gain, a place of personal profit, a place of personal happiness. That's how I see my world now. And it's all about what can I get out of this world? What personal happiness? What personal agendas? What personal pursuits can I follow? What can I get out of this world? And we've lost the viewpoint of God. Because somewhere the world had seized our hearts. We used to have a burden for the lost. I don't have it anymore. We used to have compassion for the hurting. I don't have it anymore. Because somewhere this world's treasures has become my treasures. And we lost the viewpoint of God. That when God looks in this earth at humanity, He only sees one thing. Life or death. Lost or found. In the light, we're in the dark. Amen. You know, Jesus said in the last days, this would be the plight of the church. This would be the tragedy of the church. Would you go with me to the book of Matthew, chapter 24. Look with me at verse 12. Jesus is talking about the last days. He says, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Now that word love in the Greek language is the word agape. Agape is the love that you describe Christians with. An unsaved person can't have agape love. So he's not talking about lost peoples whose hearts are growing cold. He's saying many of my people's hearts in the last days will grow cold. In essence, this is what he's saying. In the last days, the society and culture is going to be so sinful. It's going to get into the hearts of many of my people and turn their love cold, complacent, indifferent towards God and the things of God. Hearts that were once warm, tender, devoted are going to turn cold. And so many are just going to find themselves religious. That's what he's saying. Beloved, I'm reminded of a truth that I shared with you once before. In Luke chapter 7, we find a table. And on one side of a table is a woman who's broken at the feet of Jesus, washing his feet with tears, wiping them with the hairs of her head. And on the other side of the table, you find a very religious man sitting so cold and formal, indifferent in the presence of the Lord. And if I was to go around to each one of you and ask you, which side of the table do you want to be on? I believe all of us would say, I would want to be on the side of the table where the worship is passionate. Where the devotion for Christ is passionate. Where my affection for Christ is sincere. I want to be in the place of worship where I'm broken at His feet by the mercy and goodness of God. But beloved, the tragedy is So many that have started on this side of the table, somewhere in their walk with God, they got up and they went around and now they're sitting on this side of the table. And now when we come to church, we sit in His presence formal, indifferent, cold, complacent, religious. That's what He's saying. The love of many shall wax cold. They no longer see this world as I see this world. But beloved, here's hope. There's hope. If you found yourself in this place, there's hope. I want to go to our last scripture. Would you go with me to the book of Numbers chapter 20? Look with me at verse 8. This is the Lord speaking to Moses. He says, take the rod and gather thou the assembly together, thou and Aaron thy brother, and speak ye unto the rock before their eyes, and it shall bring forth water. And thou shalt bring forth to them water out of the rock, so thou shalt give the congregation and their beasts drink. Beloved, hear me, because I'm going to end with this truth, so really hear me. There was a season in my life when my heart had really grown cold. And I'm going to be truthful with you. It wasn't that long ago. My heart turned really cold. My heart was indifferent towards the Lord. Even though I was up here talking about complacency and apathy, my heart was indifferent towards the Lord. I lost anything that desired to be in ministry. I didn't desire to be in ministry anymore. There was no compassion in my heart for people. People just got on my nerves. Amen. That's all they did. Have you ever been there? My heart was very cold. No compassion. But I recognized it. And I began to talk to the Lord about it. And the Spirit of the Lord very tenderly brought me to this story. And I began to tell the Lord, Lord, this rock is my heart. My heart is very hard, very cold. There's no compassion. But God, would you speak to the rock one more time and bring something with life? God, one more time, by the power of your word, would you stir my heart and cause my heart to live again? I want my heart to live again. I want to be broken by the things that break your heart. I want to look at people who are hurting with compassion. I want to be able to see the lost as you see the lost. God, one more time, would you just speak to the rock again and cause life to flow? I don't want to stay in this place. I want to walk close to your heart. And I want to be a man you can share your heart with. And in return, I can share with other people your heart, with the spirit of your heart. So I speak in compassion when I say this. Maybe there are people here this morning and you feel the same way. That rock is my heart. That stone is my heart. I'm disinterested in the things of God. I'm disinterested when I come to church and what God is doing. I'm disinterested. I have no compassion for people. My heart has just grown cold towards people. Just the thought of pouring my life out in the people that just gets on my nerves. Exhausts me. But I want my heart to live again. God, by your Spirit, and by your word, would you stir my heart one more time and cause life to flow? Cause compassion to flow. Cause mercy to flow. God, I want to be a man. I want to be a woman that you can share your heart with and impact people around me. Stand with me this morning.